Here we go. Okay, good evening, everyone. A good Sphera Saomer. Does anyone know? Actually, I shouldn't ask you if you know what night it is, because if you didn't count yet, you should say the Sphera properly with a bracha. But that's another issue.
Last night
was 9. That is correct. And tonight right now is the 10th. I could say that because I already counted. So if you have
already goofed up. So.
What was that, Susan?
I already goofed up, so I'm out of it.
All right, you can count without a bracha then. You know, there's an interesting debate about whether women should count with a bracha, because women are not obligated in Sphera Saomer, so it's a mitzvah seishes man grama. It's a time-bound mitzvah. So the question is, since this gets us right into the shiur, actually. So the shiur topic, I'll get back to women in just a moment. The question of the shiur we're going to deal with is, I want to get to the heart of what Sphera is, but to get to the heart of what Sphera is, I'm going to ask you the following question. The question is, and I actually, what I do is between Mincha and Maariv here at the shul, and there's like 2 minutes between Mincha and Maariv, and we're waiting for Shkia, so I'll usually, if I need something off the top of my head, I'll open up with a question, and I'll say, well, if you want to know the answer, you got to come to the shiur and hear it. Oh, yeah, that's what I did on show. So that shtick I did Shabbos morning, I do between Mincha and Maariv routinely all the time. So the question was if a bar mitzvah bacher, so you have a 12-year-old boy, and he becomes, I don't know, let's just say, tonight's the 10th, he started off Sphera when he was 12 years old, he becomes bar mitzvah, now he's a man, and becomes 13 during Sphera on the 10th night, does he count with a bracha? Now, to appreciate this question, we need to go to the most fundamental.
Children don't say with a bracha.
Well, that's right, Toby. So you're asking, do children say with a bracha? So let's. This gets to the question also of women saying with a bracha. So let me explain why this is a question to begin with. And what we have to get to is perhaps the most classic machlokas, the most classic disagreement, and how to understand the essence of Sphera. If you want, those who are with us and have the hard copies. So there's a Tosos on Chaf Amud Beis on the bottom. I'll summarize it outside.
Where is this from?
This is Gemara Megillah, actually.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, if you look, it's actually on Chaf Amud Beis. So for the Gemara folks, we got a little bit of time till we get there. We're on Yud Aleph right now on 11. This is on 20. But God willing, we'll get there soon. So this is to whet our appetite a little bit. So in the second paragraph of Megillah on Chaf Amud Beis, on the bottom, in the underline, you can see, Tosvos has a machlokas between Rabbeinu Tam and the Bahag, the Baal Halachos Gedolos. Which is, let me ask you the following question. Is Sphera one big mitzvah, like the Bahag would say? All 49 days amount to one mitzvah. Thus, if I miss a day, I lost out on the entire mitzvah because it's one big mitzvah. The Bahag doesn't actually say the one big mitzvah part, but most assume that's what he means. The Bahag actually just says that, as far as I'm aware, based on Tosvos, that if you miss the night and you miss the day, then you are out for the count. You can no longer count with a bracha. Whereas the mainstream approach is that no, actually each night of Sphera is its own independent mitzvah. Thus, if I forgot to count last night the ninth, there should be really nothing stopping me from counting tonight the 10th with a bracha. So what, Toby, what you're pointing out about counting in the morning, and we're going to get to what's the reason. Let me ask you a question, and we'll get to this at the end. Rasalovichik and others ask the following question. You know, it's kind of funny. If I count at night, I recite with a bracha. But if I forgot at night, I could still make it up in the morning. That's why we count in the morning. But you'll notice that we count in the morning without a bracha, and then the next night, I resume with a bracha. So Rasalovichik asks, this is actually only at the end of the source packet in Hari Ken, and Rasalovichik asks, I'm not going to bother you to keep flipping back, but he says, Nimanav Shach, if counting during the day is a legitimate counting, you should be able to count it with a bracha. And if it's not a legitimate counting, then if you miss counting at night, why does it help to count during the day? So what is this weird in between? Either count with the bracha or don't count with the bracha and you lost out. What does it mean to count during the day but without a bracha? Yeah, Toby.
No, I wanted...
Sorry, it's Toby.
You're taking out all the
Ah, very good. So what Toby asks is as follows. If I eat an apple, I forget to make a eitz on it, I can still make the bracha achrona afterwards. So the difference is as follows. Here, the bracha on the apple, you're making a birchas anenin for benefiting and a birchas shevach v'hodah, a blessing where you're praising God. This is a different category of brachas, and I'm glad you brought this up, called a birchas hamitzvah. So a birchas hamitzvah, a bracha that you make on the performance of a mitzvah, like al achilas matzah, on eating matzah, on the tilas lulav, on taking a lulav, they have different parameters than a birchas hanenin, which you do for eating when you benefit, and a birchas shevach v'hodah, when we praise and thank God. So that's actually, I'm glad you actually brought that up, because there are distinctions.
It occurs to me that Spiros Omer cannot be one long mitzvah. Mm-hmm. Because if it was one mitzvah, you'd make one bracha, you wouldn't make 49.
That's an interesting point. So what my grandfather points out is, you know, this is like a weird conceptualization that it's one big mitzvah. Because if you're going to say it's one big mitzvah, then you should make one big bracha on it. So the fact that we are making multiple smaller brachos, well, they're the same like bracha, the fact we're making multiple brachos each and every night would seem to suggest that each night is its own mitzvah. Very good point.
Look, we're counting each night by its sequence.
Very good. You're miles ahead of me right now, but we're going to get to the sequencing issue. Very good. Very good. So, but let me just make sure this is clear. According to Rabbeinu Tam and the mainstream opinion in the Rishonim, each night is its own independent mitzvah. And if you miss during the night, it doesn't matter. If I miss an entire 24 hours, it doesn't matter. You could pick it up the next day. Tomorrow is a new opportunity, a new chance to do a new mitzvah. That is the majority opinion. But the thing is, so I'll find out in just a moment. So the Bahag says once you're out, you're out for the count. Now, what Toby's asking is, wait, so isn't the Bahag the majority opinion? That's one big mitzvah, and that's why if I miss an entire day, I don't count with a bracha anymore. So the answer to that is that we're really choshesh for both shitos. We're concerned for both. It's true the Bahag is not the mainstream opinion, but he's an opinion that we need to reckon with. And since he is a real, legitimate opinion we need to reckon with, we apply the general principle of suffek brachos lehakel, that when I'm in doubt whether to say a bracha or not, since according to the Bahag, I shouldn't say a bracha if I miss an entire day, so then out of deference to the Bahag, we do not continue with a bracha if I miss an entire day. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So what Toby points out is what we actually, you're correct, halakha l'maisa is a compromise that when we count during the day, because there's another machlokus that they have. The Bahag holds that if you miss the night, you can still make up during the day. Whereas the mainstream opinion says so that's for Salvatrix's question. Why would Bahag say count the next day without a bracha? You know what we do halach lamaisa? Halach lamaisa, we don't make a bracha, but not necessarily because the Bahag said not to do with a bracha. It's because the Bahag holds that if you miss during the night, you could count during the day. He's lenient in regards to the fact that the daytime can still count, but he's machmir that, but once you miss that day, once you miss that grace period, you're out. Whereas the mainstream opinion, the Rabbeinu Tam, the majority opinion, is that once you miss the night, you can count during the day because we need temimus, it says in the pasuk. If you only count from the day, that's not a complete day. You have to count from the beginning of the day, and the Jewish day starts at nighttime. So what
good is it just to count without saying a bracha?
Very good question. Pasuk is asking, Why would the Bahag say to count without a bracha? So in order to answer that question, we need to
belittle the counting when you don't say bracha.
It's a great point, right? Because, you know, we continue counting the next few days without a bracha because maybe I'm still yotze each and every individual mitzvah. But what's the benefit to counting without a bracha, and then I can resume with a bracha? That's very weird. So we'll address that. Okay. So just in order to appreciate this, let's go back to our opening question. We got to get into the actual material here. So if you, those who are with us with the hard copies here, the question of Minchas Tinach is as follows. Now that we know the Machlokis, Rabbi Yonatan, and the Bahag, we can appreciate this question. If a bar mitzvah, if a boy becomes bar mitzvah middle sphira, we're assuming like the Rambam who holds that Sfiras Omer today is biblical, is midoraisa. So the question is, can this boy continue counting without continue counting with a bracha? So let's plug it in. If I hold like Rabbi Yonatan that each and every day is his own independent mitzvah, it doesn't matter that he wasn't chayiv at the beginning of Sfira because the previous countings don't matter. But if we hold it's all one big mitzvah, since this boy was not chayiv at the beginning, I'll give you an example to help make it easier. If someone wasn't Jewish, and this is actually what he deals with as well, someone wasn't Jewish, and then they convert on the 10th night of the Omer, so can they count with a bracha? Well, the thing is, if they weren't chayiv in the mitzvah Sirsa Omer, maybe even if they were functionally, right, they were training to do mitzvahs before converting, maybe they're counting, for lack of a better term, doesn't count. It's not admissible. That's not a legitimate counting because you have to be chayiv when you do the reading. This should sound similar when we had the sugya about women laning Megillah for men. We said, well, if women don't share the same level of chayiv as men, they can't be motzi them. It's not called a halachic kriya. It's not a halachic reading. It's a similar idea. So it seems the Minchas Chinuch says that if I hold one big mitzvah, so then this boy, he already missed. It's like he didn't count. It's like he missed the first 10 days of Sfira. So he can't continue counting with the bracha. If I forgot to count the first 10 days of Sfira, I'd also be out for the count. It's like he didn't even read because he wasn't chayiv at that point. But if we say each and every night is its own independent mitzvah, big deal, he missed the first 10 nights. He has the rest of Sfira to count, and he has more mitzvah opportunities ahead of him. That's what the Minchas Chinuch suggests initially. Does that sound compelling? Sound good? Get some nods? Yeah. Anyone need me, just clarification. Anyone need me to clarify that, repeat that, rehash? Yeah, a little bit. Okay, one more time. So if a bar mitzvah boy, he's not chayiv in Sfira, his counting the first 10 days of Sfira are worthless. It's like me, an adult. It's as if I forgot to say Sfira altogether. It doesn't matter that he said the words. He's just simply not chayiv. So it's not counted in the halachic registers as a halachic counting. So the question is, can he now count as a 13-year-old boy with a bracha? So the answer is, if you hold like the Bahag, that's one big mitzvah. It's like he didn't count the first 10 days, so he can't count with the bracha. But if each and every night's an independent mitzvah, he missed the first 10, but he has the rest of Sfira to be yotze. Very good. So we got it. So the Minchas Chinuch wants to make the argument that perhaps, and by the way, Minchas Chinuch, sound familiar? We learned Sefer HaChinuch Sunday mornings. So this is our good friend, the Minchas Chinuch, we reference, which is just to show you, right? So you have in the middle over here, the Sefer HaChinuch that we do Sunday mornings. Here's my pitch. And around it is the commentary of the Minchas Chinuch, which is a halachic commentary. Plus the commentary more like uses the Sefer HaChinuch as a springboard to talk about what he wants to talk about. So I don't precise dates, but Sefer HaChinuch is Rishonim, Minchas Chinuch Achronim. So, you know, a few hundred years later, it's my understanding. Okay, so the Minchas Chinuch wants to make two arguments for why, even according to the Bahag, even if you hold it's one big grandiose mitzvah and you miss one night, you're out for the count, the bar mitzvah boy would still continue with the bracha. Why? Argument number one he makes is that, now this is an interesting shita in Chinuch. In general, when we talk about Chinuch, about educating one's child, we assume, and most Rishonim assume this, that the mitzvah, the imperative of being mechanech one's children is incumbent upon machlokis if it's just the father or father and mother. But hey, we love equality here. We'll say the father and mother. We'll go with that shita. Why not? So is it incumbent upon the father and mother? That's what most assume. But there is a minority opinion, actually, that not only are the parents chayav to educate their child, but actually the child, midirabbanan, rabbinically, is obligated to educate himself. footnote, Rav Elchanan Wasserman asks, wait a minute, what's the mitzvah to follow the Rabbanan? There's a mitzvah, the Torah says, lo sasur, you shouldn't stray from what the rabbis say. So, but if a child is not chayav to follow the Torah, how can you be chayav to follow the rabbis who get their power from the mitzvah that the Torah tells you to follow the rabbis? So he deals with that question, but it's a little bit of a catch 22. Okay. So footnote over there. So the Minchas Chinah suggests it's true this boy, when he was 12 years old, wasn't chayav on a d'oraisa level, on a biblical level, but he was chayav at least on a d'rabbanan level. So, okay, he gets bumped up. He gets upgrade the first class, right? He went to the Pesach program on the bronze level. He gets bumped up to the gold level. I don't know how the levels work at Pesach program. So he was, Okay, he gets bumped up to first class. So he started off as a mere d'rabbanan chayav. Now, according to Rav, he's a d'oraisa. He's a biblical level chayav in terms of his obligation to count speed for Sirsa Omer. So there, you wouldn't say his countings wouldn't be halakhically registered. They registered on a rabbinical level. They were legitimate, bona fide halakhic countings. And now they count on a d'oraisa level as well. But they're on the books as legitimate halakhic countings. It's not like me forgetting to count a night altogether. That's one answer he gives. The issue is that it doesn't help us in the case where in Eved, which is a case of you have an Eved Kanani, a non-Jewish servant. We talked about this in our Chumash class way back when during Bible from the beginning. We talked about this a little bit. So when he becomes free, when a non-Jewish male servant is in servitude, he is chayv in mitzvos like a woman is. He's not chayv in time-bound mitzvos, which philosophically actually makes sense, because if you believe women aren't obligated to time-bound mitzvos so they can be around for the children in the house, etc., this servant also actually, it's the same rationale. But we'll leave tamei ha-mitzvos for another time. But when he becomes free, he's not just becoming free, he is converting completely and becomes a full Jewish man. So the question is, at the beginning of Sphira, he wasn't obligated at all, not even on a Durabana level. He wasn't chayav at all in the midst of Sphira. Or I'll make it easier for you. Forget about the Eved. Someone who is a complete non-Jew at the beginning of Sphira, they're in the GPS conversion process. They convert I wonder if they try not to do conversions middle Sphira because of this. That'd be interesting if there was like some sort of chumrah because of that. So, but he converts in the middle of Sphira. So here we can't give the answer that he was chayav midrabanan, and now he's chayav d'oraisa, but his countings when he was midrabanan, he wasn't chayav at all. He was non-Jewish. So that's not a good answer. That's a good answer for the bar mitzvah bacher. That's not a good answer for someone who's converting to Judaism in the middle of Sphira. So therefore, the Minchas Chinuch gives another answer. And guys, this is what I love doing. I mean, anyone who's not at our Sunday morning class, you will still benefit from this and enjoy this. But if you were at our Sunday morning, our first Sefer Chinuch class, you'll enjoy this so much more because he refers all the way back to the first mitzvah, a priya verivya of having children. If you remember, and I think a number of you actually are in the Sefer Chinuch class, remember we had a chakira. We asked the following question. Is the mitzvah of reproducing, of having children, is it a din in the maisa, the act of having children? Or as the Minchas Chinuch argues, it's a din in the totsah, the result of having the children. How did the Minchas Chinuch prove this? One interesting case he doesn't bring up here, but he brings up over there, this crazy case. A man has an affair. He commits adultery. And what do you know? Twin boy and girl come from there. So the Minchas Chinuch says, true, it's a mitzvah. You might say it's a mitzvah haba ba'avera, that something good came out through a sin, but that wouldn't stop him from fulfilling a mitzvah peri v'rivya, because mitzvah haba ba'avera is only a problem when the mitzvah and the avera happen at the same time. But here, you did the maisa avera of the znus, of the adultery, and then 9 months later, that's when you have the children. So it's not connected. Why? Because it's not maisa oriented, it's result oriented, it's totsa oriented. Do we talk about adoption? I think we may have discussed that. We talk about maybe that's the result oriented. It's not about the maisa. So maybe like the right. So I remember you're saying to Rami also when we were sitting at that table there. So the other room. Okay. it's all become one blur. So, and the other proof, by the way, one of the other proofs he gives, and this is the one he cites over here, is that if someone had children and then converts, they don't have to have more children. What do you mean? When he had the children, he wasn't chayiv in the mitzvah. So how can having children when he was a non-Jew? Non-Jews are more than welcome to have children, but they're not chayiv in having children. So if he's not chayiv when he has the children, how can he fulfill the mitzvah without having more children once he's a Jew? He should be chayiv to have additional children. But the Gemara almost tells us he does not have to have additional children because it's not about the maisa. It's not about the act. It's about the totsah. So even though he did the maisa, the act of having the children, of conceiving and creating the children when he was non-Jewish, not obligated, now that he's a Jew, there's no further action required because it's about the totsah of having the children exist, of the result of having the children. So what's the connection over here? The Minchas Chinuch wants to make the same argument. So too over here for Sfirsa Omer. True, made just like the person was non-Jewish and they had children, but the children, once he becomes chayiv, they count for him. So maybe I start off Sfira not obligated in counting, either because I wasn't Jewish or because I was a 12-year-old boy. But now that I am chayiv in it, later down the line, it should still count for me. That's the Michas Chinuch's argument. But I got a big question. It's not just me. If anyone is listening very carefully, or you think about this analogy, what's wrong with this analogy? What's wrong with the analogy between the case of having children at Prairie Verivia and the analogy to Sfiras HaOmer? Why don't they line up properly? So the issue, Rav Olshan asked in Yerech Moadim, those who want to... Toby? Right. So I think, so Toby gives us a distinction. Not, yeah. Right. So it's not the distinction that I was thinking of, but that is a legitimate distinction. That Sfiras HaOmer, you know, barring any extenuating circumstances, it's fully within my power to count Sfiras HaOmer. But Prairie Verivia, that someone could try, but they might not necessarily be successful. Very good. That's what I wanted to get to. Okay, good. That was what I wanted to get. Very good. So Toby asked the following question, which Rav Yerucham Olshan from the Beis Medrash Gavoa in Lakewood asked the same question as well. So you're, as well as many great Acharonim, so you're in the same boat as all of them. I'm not sure Rav Schechter does, but I'm sure he did as well. So many great Acharonim asked the following question, which is, what kind of analogy is this? Prairie Verivia is about the result. But Sfiras HaOmer, what's the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer? The maisa, the act of counting the Omer, of counting Sfira. So it makes sense if I'm not Jewish and I have children, they'll still count for me later on because it's about the result of having the children. But Sfira, it's about the act of counting Sfira. So if I'm not Jewish or I'm a 12-year-old boy, I'm not chayiv in Sfira, it doesn't matter that later on I become chayiv down the line. At the time I'm counting, I'm still not chayiv in Sfira. So how could that counting work for me? It's not analogous. What's more analogous to yes? It's more analogous. And the Michas Chinuch actually deals with this.
But you know what?
That's an issue. It's analogous to Achilas Matzah.
But there is another analogy.
The case in the Gemara is that if I eat matzah, and I am just, I'm not inebriated, that's not the right word. I'm almost like incapacitated. I'm just like completely out of it. It says like you're a shota at the moment. You have no sense of anything at that moment. And, you know, or let's say, just say I'm like sitting down and people put food down my mouth. That's not good. I mean, forcing might be different, but basically, yeah, forcing might be a little bit different, actually. We talked about that. But we talked about it in Sefer Chinuch, actually. But let's say I'm a shokta at the time. I'm not aware of anything and I eat the matzah, it doesn't count. So there, why? Because the act of eating. So if at the time I'm not in the proper state to eat, it's not going to count for me. That's your analogous to. There's a maisa of eating matzah. There's a maisa of counting sfira. So that's more analogous. So the question is, how do we get from Prairie Verivia to Sfiras HaOmer? Phyllis.
Yes. My analogy is this. At the end of 9 months, you get a gift. At the end of 7 weeks, you also get a gift.
Very good. I think I know what you're getting to. What you want to suggest, Phyllis, if I understood correctly, is that it's not that the counting is one big mitzvah. Now, those who have the sheets in front of you will make reference to the Yireich Ma'an, to Rav Yerucham Olshin. He quotes Rav Chaim, and Rav Chaim, and he also quotes Netziv, the Shiltos, yeah, Netziv in his Amak Shela on the Shiltos. So we're on page Kuf Ayin Ches in Yireich Mo'adim. We are in the underline on the bottom. He says, "The Yisod Mitzvah Svir Sa'omer, Eino Rag Maisa Shel Svir Sa'yam Alma." It's not about counting the days of Svir Sa'omer. El Yish B'Svir Sa'omer Toras Chalos Kiddush Chag Hatzeres. By counting the days, it's not the mitzvah of counting the days. The mitzvah is to be Mekadesh, is to sanctify the holiday of Shavuos.
To prepare yourself for Shavuos, yes.
Exactly. And so he says, his lush is Kiddushei Itzarta. So the Kihei the Kiddusha Shar HaMuadim Atzulim B'Yom HaChodesh. Most holidays, we think of Sukkot, we think of Pesach, how do we sanctify them? We sanctify Rosh Chodesh, and by virtue of establishing when Rosh Chodesh is, boom, we have Pesach and Sukkot in the middle of the month. How do we sanctify Shavuos? Shavuos is unique. We sanctify Shavuos by counting the days leading up to Shavuos. But the counting of the days is actually not the mitzvah itself. Rather, it's the culmination of all the days being counted, resulting in Shavuos being Mekudash. Shavuos becoming sanctified through the counting. So it's not about the act of counting Sphira, but through counting the Sphira, the result is that you have a sanctified yontif of Shavuos.
But you also let me finish the thought.
So the analogy, here's the analogy. The analogy is that just like in Pir Verivia, it's true there's an action required to have the kits. You need to do the Maisabi, you need to have the relation, you need to go through all the motions to have the kids, but it's about the result of what culminates at the end with the child. Similarly, over here as well, it also is these Maises, but they lead up to the Totsah, the action.
If I don't
Yeah. Right. Okay. Well, yeah, you need to be commanded in the Omer offering first, because we don't have the Omer offering today. But, right. Oh, I see. You could say that the Torah being given was so makudash, sanctified on its own, didn't require our sphera. No, it's a good point. But if we weren't given the Torah yet, also, we're really committed to mitzvah. So it's a bit,
well, exactly.
Yeah.
But that's my point. Yeah.
Interesting. All right, I have to think more about that. But that's interesting.
But okay. My point is that you get a gift. That's my point.
My point you get is that the gift came first.
I don't know if Phyllis is able to hear. Phyllis, are you able to hear Toby, what she said back?
No, I didn't hear what she said. No.
I'll turn this around. But,
Phyllis, what I'm saying is that before Matan Torah, there weren't mitzvahs. We had no commandment to count Sphira or do anything with Yomer until after we already got the gift. So the gift came first. After that, the commemoration of the receiving of the gift every year is preceded by the count. But in the actual leaving Egypt and going to Sinai, no one was counting.
I understand, but it's for us. It's for future generations.
Okay.
So that we remember that we received the gift and we receive it all the time.
Okay. So this is good. Especially we'll have to, Toby, when you present next week on the photos and the pace of vacation, we'll get the rest of your halach on the sphere as well.
I get it, but I see it both ways.
Okay, very good. We're open to different approaches. Okay, so that's one answer. But the one I really want to focus on was the first answer he gives, where Salvage gives this, where Moshe gives this, many Achronim give this, which is maybe we misunderstood the Bahag. See, remember the Bahag we saw in Tosas that quotes the Bahag, Balachas Gedolos. Well, he actually doesn't say himself that it's one big mitzvah. What does the Bahag say? The Bahag says that if you miss an entire day, evening and daytime, you can no longer count with the bracha. That leads, the Sefer HaChinuch writes it himself, that leads many to assume that it is one big mitzvah, and that's why if you miss one day, you're out for the count, game over. But not everyone actually understands the Bahag that way. Some suggest, actually, why does the Bahag say that if you miss one day, you're out for the count? It's not because in Zaidi, this will fit well with your point about how we make a bracha every night. It's not that he says that's one big mitzvah, but no, we make a bracha on every single night. He actually holds like Rabbeinu Tam, he holds like majority opinion. Each night is its own unique mitzvah, b'fnei atzmo, unto itself. But unlike the majority opinion, he says, because it needs to be done in sequence, it needs to be done as a cheshbon, you need to count the previous days. If I count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and then I count 10, 13, 17, it doesn't make any sense. Without having counted the first few nights, it's true each night is its own unique mitzvah, but it's contingent on the tnai, on the condition that I've counted everything until this point. Because if I miss the night beforehand, then when I start counting afterwards, no longer a sequence, and it becomes gibberish. It's no longer the 49 days. So what is the real shita of the Bahag? Some would like to suggest that actually each night's so unique mitzvah, and so you need to count every night beforehand. So when you, here's what happens. You're doing two things. When you count at night, when I count the 10th night, I'm doing two things. A, I'm fulfilling the mitzvah of counting night number 10. B, I am thereby enabling myself as a hechsher mitzvah to be able to continue the next night in sequence as well. Two things at the same time. Ah, so how does this help us out? When this bar mitzvah, when this pre-bar mitzvah bacher, or this non-Jew is counting the nights beforehand, before he becomes chayiv, really chayiv in the mitzvah, it's true you might not be fulfilling the mitzvah those nights because you're not chayiv in it. But they are still considered, in his language, yom sipurim. They are still considered counted nights. They have a status of counted nights. I didn't fulfill the mitzvah, but they still count for the sequencing, thus enabling me on night number 10, when I become bar mitzvah, I become a Jew, to be able to not only count as a hechsher mitzvah, but to fulfill the actual mitzvah of the night when I count. Thus, this boy who's 12, when he counts before, he might not be fulfilling it on the Doraisa level for the Rama, but once he is bar mitzvah, it's not like he didn't count. He counted those nights, and thus he can count with the bracha going forward. Oh, but if he didn't, then he's just as bad as me. So there is, I think you can look at the Pitsky Shir. Toby asks as follows. Let's say, and I think Howard Wolf came over to me after I gave the shir between Mincha Marv this past Shabbos. He made a similar suggestion, which is, well, maybe the Bar Mitzvah boy, since he starts on night number 10, his counting starts night number 10. So for him, the counting didn't start on day one. The counting started on day number 10. So it's considered for him to be Tamimus. That's complete. Okay, footnote. Good point. Put that on the side for now. But what do we see over here? This answers A, how a bar mitzvah boy, even according to Bahag, can still count with the bracha after he becomes bar mitzvah, or a non-Jew converts to Judaism. And you know what it answers? Rasav Ajik says, it answers another question. Remember at the beginning, we were all asking about, I don't get it. Why is it that if I count at night, it's with a bracha, but if it's the next day without a bracha, even according to the Bahag, and then I can resume with a bracha the next night? Oh, what? Very good. Exactly. So Dina said, you know, Versalvechik just led us right into her. Versalvechik says, exactly like Dina suggested, because of the sequencing. What am I doing when I count at night? I'm doing two things, the mitzvah, and I'm enabling myself to continue counting in sequence. What do I do when I count during the day? I've already lost out. I've missed day number 10. If I forget tonight, I already count, thank God, number 10. But if I forgot and I count the next morning, what am I doing? Sorry, Charlie, you lost out on number 10. Try better next time on day 11.
Yeah, but why is it when you read the Megillah that you read that you make a bracha at night and during the day?
I'm sorry. So if we forget,
Sorry.
Yeah. Okay, so if I count during the night, I've been able to do both mitzvah, the mitzvah and the hechsher mitzvah. But if I can't, when I count during the day, I may not be fulfilling the counting for day number 10. It's too late. It's not tmimus. I have to count from the beginning. But it enables me to continue counting with number 11. That's why you make it without a bracha during the daytime. But then the next night, you can continue counting with a bracha. That's the svara in it. And you know, so it answers the bar mitzvah boy, how you continue counting with a bracha, and explains why you don't count during bracha during the day. You want to know good nafka mina? If it's number 49, and I forgot to count the night of the 49th, I do not count. There's no point in counting during the day of the 49th. Forget about with or without a bracha, because the whole point of counting during the day is to count the next day. But this is the last day. So if I miss the night of the 49th, there's no function to counting during the day then. Yes, Joe?
So let's say I missed the night of the
10th. Yeah, you missed the night of the 10th.
I said it the morning.
And you said?
Without a bracha.
Right.
Now I miss the night of the 11th. Can I say that
roughly the morning of the 11th? Yes. So Toby asked the case is
doing
right. So Toby's question is: let's say I just keep forgetting nights and I keep counting during the day. Will it enable me? And the answer is yes. They'll count all as Yom Tzipurim, and you would be like that the pre-bar mitzvah boy who's 12 years old when he counts 1 through 9 in a row when he's 12 years old. All those nights didn't count for the mitzvah, but enables him to count with a bracha once he's back in the game. So even as an adult who is chayiv, if I forget, now again with women, it's actually a unique case. So, going back to our question at the beginning,
so
there's
a
debate about whether
several days,
count.
I'm doomed.
Right. But there's a debate whether women should count with a bracha or not, because there's a concern, according to the Bahag, that if I lose, then all my brachos previously would be considered a bracha levatola. That all the nights beforehand are considered bracha levatala, because if it's all one big mitzvah, and then on night number 30, I forget, then 1 through 29 was all in vain. So if a woman's not chayv to do it, why put yourself in a position where there's such a huge risk that you might be making bracha levatala? Us men, we're damned if we do, damned if we don't. We don't have a choice in the matter. We got to do it. We got to take the risk on. But why put yourself in a position where you're like, how many people make it? They should get a t-shirt every year that says, I survived Sphira 2022, 5782. How many people make it through? So that's why would you be machnis to yourself into makum sakana, so to speak?
So can I ask another question?
Yes, Phil.
So, I'm sorry, but I'm missing something, I guess. So why is it you read the Megillah at night, you make a bracha, you read it in the morning, you make a bracha. So why is counting the Omer very different from that?
Yeah, so good question. So Phyllis is tying things back to the previous holiday of Purim, which I like the connection you're making. You'll notice that we lay Megillah at night and we lay Megillah at day, both with a bracha. Though actually, whether we make a Shechiyanu another time is a Machlokas Ashkenazim and Sfarim.
Okay, that's
a Sfarim don't. But
we don't make the Shachianu on counting the Omer.
Right. So then Toby, you want to bring in the challah at night, challah during the day. Okay, great. So there's so many good analogies here. I love how we're thinking. We're tying in all the Shirim. So, I mean, right. The thing with Megillah is that, we actually learned in Drushos, in when we're learning Masech's Megillah, that there's a chiv at night and a chiv at day to read the Megillah. We mentioned that the chiv at night is Medivrei Kabbalah, most assumed, Tori Evan says. At a night, it's, the day is Midivrei Kabbalah, and the night is Divrei Sofer. So the day is like actually what's commanded in the Megillah itself as a higher status, and then the night is a general takana that the Rabbanan instituted. So there's two independent chiyuvim. Here, there's only one chiyuv for the day. That's why you don't make a bracha in the morning. But you actually have two separate independent chiyuvim, one to lay a night, one to lay a day. That's why I make a bracha twice on the reading of the Megillah. I mean, Haraya, you would think if I heard Megillah at nighttime, why do I have to hear it in the morning? Because it's two separate chiyuvim, one at night, one during the day. You're not making up. Maybe you're thinking to yourself, I went to the sanctuary minyan, and I don't know what it was like this year. I went to the Beit Midrash minyan where it was like nice. We moved along very smoothly. I'm not sure. I'm sure the sanctuary worked out as well. But maybe you think you go to the nighttime minyan, there's the kids there, they make noise, and then you miss a word and you lose the entire Megillah reading. I'm not going to re-traumatize myself, but so maybe during the daytime I'm making up for the reading I missed at nighttime.
So why don't you make a Shachianu when you count the Omer?
Why don't we make a Shachianu when we count the Omer? I think when we make the Shachianu at the end, when we get to Shavuos, which I guess fits in nicely with that idea that's meant to culminate at Shavuos, and that's where the crescendo is.
Where is the Shachianu for the Omer part?
Well, generally when you make a Shachianu on the holiday, that's what we do for Purim also. When you make Shachianu,
every holiday.
Right. So here's a good analogy. When you make a Shachianu for Purim during the daytime, we remind everyone that not only does the Shachianu apply to the Megillah, but applies to Matanos Avyonim, it applies to the Suras Purim, and applies also to the Mishach Manos. So many times the Shachianu will be multi-purpose. When it's applying to the holiday, it applies to all the mitzvot subsumed within the holiday. But good question. Right, we don't say Shachianu for holidays. We don't say it for Shabbos. Right, that's correct. Okay, I guess Berachah Shachianu will leave for another shiur. That's a good one. Right, it's not a holiday, but we make Shachianu a milestone, so it's considered a milestone that requires a Shachianu. Okay, good. Very good question. But here's the last part I want to get to. One last interesting question. This is a little bit more of a sobering question. Look all the way at the end, this last page, if you're following with us here with the hard copies. Look on the last page, Reish and Gimel and Hari Kedem. Here's the following story in the underline in the first column. Fine uvda havi barav echad shehir gisha kitzo mimashmesh uba betochime sfirasa omer. There was a certain rabbi who his prognosis or he could sense that he was going to pass away at some point during sfirasa omer. He was confident about that, or he was very concerned it would happen. Ulekach hayesoper sfirasa omer below bracha. He would therefore count all sfirasa omer from the beginning. He didn't miss a night, but he would count without a bracha. Because he was concerned that if you were to pass away during Sfirasa Omer, according to Bahag, it's one big mitzvah, he would make all these brachos levatala. He make all these brachos in vain. So he didn't want to start saying Sfira with a bracha, lest he pass away during that time. What does Rasavajic say? But that's only if you understood that the Bahag held that Sfirasa Omer is one big mitzvah. If it's as we just explained, that actually it's multiple mitzvahs. Each and every night's own mitzvah, they're just interdependent. It's just that there's a prerequisite to count 29. I need to count 1 through 28. So actually, even if, God forbid, he passed away during Sfirasa Omer, he shouldn't have to worry that all of his brachas were made in vain. Each and every night counted. It's just that you need to count the previous nights for it to count the future ones. But the fact he can't count the future nights has no bearing on the fact that he fulfilled a mitzvah all the nights beforehand. So based on this reinterpretation of the Bahag, we can understand why a bar mitzvah boy should count with the bracha, why this man who thinks that he was going to pass away during Sfirasa Omer should count with the bracha, and why also, as we said, that if you miss during the nighttime, you can still count during day without a bracha, so it gets you back in the game for the next day, so you have counted Yom Sipurim, and that way we could grab an opportunity each and every night to count Sfirasa Omer. Even if we missed the previous one, we could still make it up the other nights, even according to this interpretation of the Bahag. This is not the mainstream interpretation. Thus, halakha l'maisa, if you miss an entire night and day, you count without a bracha, but this is some good lumpus over here, I thought. Okay, I got to run. Yasher Koach, everyone. Thank you for joining in person and on
Zoom. Thank you. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Stay in the count and make it through all Sfirasa Omer. One piece. Take care, everyone. Have a good night.
Good night.
Mazel tov again, Zayn.